Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman, remembered by Avram Goldar, and today Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Nun Ches, the sixth parak Hakones. The sixth parak has been dedicated by the Klein family as a schus for Refuah Shleimah for Gittel Zissel Bas Rachel. And this daf has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eitan Feldman, L'zeichon Nishmas, his father, Noach ben Avram Abba, may his neshama have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that if a sheep fell into someone's garden, damaging the produce, the owner pays for its benefit, but not the full damages, since its fall was an accident. Rav says, Benechbeta, the case is where it was struck by falling onto the produce, cushioning the animal's fall. The Gemara explains that Rav means that he pays not only the animal's benefit from eating produce, but he even pays the benefit of the produce, softening its fall. One might have exempted the owner because it's tantamount to Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where he does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property. Two reasons are offered why the exemption of Mavriach Ari does not apply here. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas Hailav medaito, this owner of the garden, saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And number two, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, but this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage and therefore may collect the animal's benefit. Point number two, we just learned that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Of a maruga la ruga, but if it went from one bed to another and ate there, mishalemes mashe hizika, he pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one bed to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit. I should take it if it talks to the dust until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. Rapapa clarifies that once it leaves with the owner's knowledge, he's chai for its damages, even if it returned without his knowledge, and an ordinary lesser garden does not exempt, because the garden's owner can say to him, Kevin to Yofa, once it has learned to enjoy my garden's produce, Koim is the Mishtamta Lahasim Rahata, whenever it escapes, it will run there and requires a greater guarding to prevent it from returning. And point number three, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a basa of land. Rav Masim provides the source, Ubir Bistei Acher, and it consumes in the field of another. Malam Sheshaman Al Gav Sada Acher. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another, larger field. The Gemara asks how the price of a beis saw is evaluated. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says it's evaluated based on a sale of 60 beis saw divided by 60. Rabbi Yanai says it's based on the value of a tarkov, a half saw, and a sale of 60 beis tarkov, meaning 30 beis saw, which is then doubled. Chizkiyah holds we do not evaluate a beis saw at all, and only evaluate the area of land damaged as part of an area 60 times its size. Later, Rava says this leniency only applies to an animal's damages, but a man's damages are assessed directly on the amount damaged, not a ratio of 1 to 60. So once again, the three points are number one. The Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that if a sheep fell into someone's garden damaging the produce, the owner pays for its benefit, but not the full damages, since its fall was an accident. Rav says, Benechbeta, the case is where it was struck by falling onto the produce, cushioning the animal's fall. The Gemara explains that Rav means that he pays not only the animal's benefit from eating produce, but he even pays the benefit of the produce, softening its fall. One might have exempted the owner because it's tantamount to Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where he does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property. Two reasons are offered why the exemption of Mavriach Ari does not apply here. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas Hailav medaito, this owner of the garden, saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And number two, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, Haislei Pseda, but this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage and therefore may collect the animal's benefit. Point number two, we just learned that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Of a maruga la ruga, but if it went from one bed to another and ate there, mishalemes mashe hizika, he pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one bed to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit. I should take it if it talks to the dust until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. Rapapa clarifies that once it leaves with the owner's knowledge, he's chai for its damages, even if it returned without his knowledge, and an ordinary lesser garden does not exempt, because the garden's owner can say to him, Kevin de Yofa, once it has learned to enjoy my garden's produce, koimas de mishtamta lahasim rahata, whenever it escapes, it will run there and requires a greater guarding to prevent it from returning. And point number 3, the Mishnah on Daf Nunhei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a basa of land. Rav Masan provides the source, Ubir b'stei acher, and it consumes in the field of another. Malam sheshamen al gav sada acher. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another, larger field. The Gemara asks how the price of a beisa is evaluated. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says it's evaluated based on a sale of 60 beisa divided by 60. Rabbi Yanai says it's based on the value of a tarkov, a half saw, and a sale of 60 beis tarkov, meaning 30 beisa, which is then doubled. Chizkiyah holds we do not evaluate a beisa at all, and only evaluate the area of land damaged as part of an area 60 times its size. Later, Rava says this leniency only applies to an animal's damages, but a man's damages are assessed directly on the amount damaged, not a ratio of 1 to 60. All right, so now we go to our Siman Daf Nun Ches, and our standard Siman is Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, not to be confused with the biblical Noach. So here goes. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden damaging some produce and was now eating more produce, going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a beisa. Once again, slow motion. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, that must have been wearing Daf Nun Ches. When Noach Goldberg, the zookeeper, was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, which reminds us two reasons are given as to why the concept of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero, chasing a lion away from someone's property, where one does not collect benefits from the property's owner because he was performing a mitzvah in protecting the property, does not apply where a sheep fell into someone's garden and the produce cushioned the fall. Number one, Mavriach Ari is done medaito knowingly, whereas the owner of the garden saved the animal from injury unknowingly. And secondly, Mavriach Ari does not suffer a loss by chasing away the lion, whereas this one suffers a loss of his produce's damage, and therefore he may collect the animal's benefit. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, which reminds him, it was taught that if someone's animal fell into a garden and ate produce, he pays for its benefit but not the full damages. Rav Kahana says this is only true for that bed onto which it fell. Rashi explains the animal could not restrain itself from consuming that bed. Avama aruga la aruga, but if it went from one row to another row and ate there, meshalemes masha hazika, it pays for what it damaged because the owner is negligent for not removing it. Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the animal went from one row to another all day, the owner would still only pay its benefit, ashitetsi vitaksu ladas, until it leaves the garden and returns with the owner's knowledge. So when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a beisa, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught that where an animal damaged produce in a field, the damage is not assessed according to the value of the produce, but according to the field's loss in value. Furthermore, the assessment is not made for the specific area of damage, but as part of a greater area of a beisa of land. Rav Masan provides the source, Ubir b'stei acher, and it consumes in the field of another. This teaches that they assess the damage based on another larger field. The Gemara brings different opinions as to how the price of a beisa is evaluated. So once again, when Noach Goldberg the zookeeper was chasing a lion away from someone's property, he noticed someone's sheep had fallen into the garden, damaging some produce, and was now eating more produce going from one row to the next, while the homeowner was busy assessing the damage as part of a larger area of a beisa. All right, so now it's time for four blah back chazara. Daf Nun Dalad. So the simmer Daf Nun Dalad is noodles, and we often use a pasta chef. So here goes. The pasta chef, who was upset he wouldn't be compensated for ceramic noodle bowls. That must be run Daf Nun Dalad. That broke when his donkey fell into a pit while carrying them, which reminds us, the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amun Aleph taught that if Kaling fell into a bore and broke, The boar's owner is punter. This disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, who holds one is chayav for kelim damaging a boar. The Rabban darshan v'nafal shama shor or chamor, and an ox or donkey shall fall into a teaching shor v'lo adam. He's chayav for an ox, but not a person. Chamor v'lo kelim, and for a donkey, not for kelim. Rabbi Yehuda darshans the extra word o to include liability for kelim. So the pasta chef, who was upset he wouldn't be compensated for his ceramic noodle bowls that broke when his donkey fell into a pit while carrying them, also saw his short pikeach about to fall in, who should have been careful examining the path, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Nafal Asocho Shor Ben Das Pater. If a short pikeach, an intelligent ox, fell into the pit, the owner of the boar is Pater. Rav explains the reason, the boile ayune amazel, because the ox should have examined its path as it walked, and its falling into the boar is not considered the negligence of the pit's owner. So the pasta chef, who was upset he wouldn't be compensated for ceramic noodle bowls that broke when his donkey fell into a pit while carrying them, also saw his short pikeach about to fall in, who should have been careful examining the path, instead of being engrossed in a sefer about the 8 halachos that apply to all animals and fowl, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Echad Shor Ve'echad Kol Behema, the same didn't apply whether it's an ox or any animal regarding 8 halachos, and it also applies to birds and wild animals. The Torah wrote specific animals in these places, Shedibra Kasab Behova, because the Torah spoke about common cases. Daf Nun Hey, so the symbol Daf Nun Hey is a speed limit sign of 55. So here goes. The speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Lucho Shnios, was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and a shibuta fish pulling it. Right next to an enclosure where a sheep that was locked in with a Shmira Pachusa managed to escape. Once again, it's in motion. The speed limit sign, that Mesmur on Daf Nun Hey, 55. The speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Shnios, which reminds us Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chanilai quoted Shmuel Bar Nachman, who explained the reason why the word Tov is not mentioned in the first Aseres HaDibros, Hoyel V'Sof and Lishtaber, because they were destined to be shattered, which Rav Ashi explained would indicate Chas V'Shalom Paska Tovim Yisrael, heaven forbid goodness has ceased from Yisrael. Rabbi Yeshua said, Aro Tes B'Cholomo Simen Yafalo, if one sees the letter Tes in his dream, it's a good sign for him. The Gemara ultimately explains, Hoyo Pasuk Bo Kasav Toba Tchila, because the Torah began using the letter Tes for goodness, because its first appearance is when describing light as Tov, good. So the speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Shnios, was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and shibuta fish pulling it, which reminds us, Rochava asked, Amanik be'iza v'shibuta mahu, one who leads a wagon by means of a goat and a shibuta fish pulling it, what is the halacha? Do we say that since the goat cannot go into the sea and the fish cannot go into dry land, he has not done anything prohibited because they're inherently separate and he's not over on climb? Or, since they drew the wagon, he violated the climb prohibition. So the speed limit sign with the word Tov in it, surrounded by the outline of the Luchos Shnios, was posted along the road where a man was leading a wagon with a goat and shibuta fish pulling it, right next to an enclosure where a sheep that was locked in with a Shmir Bachusa managed to escape, which reminds us, the sixth parak begins, Hakonis Tzon Ladir, one who brought a sheep into a shed, Benal Befenehel Karui, and locked the opening before properly, V'yatza Hizika Pater, but it escaped and damaged someone's property, he's Pater. If it was not properly locked, he's Chayev. A Braisa defines a Shmir Bachusa, a proper locking, as Delas Sheyelcho Lamod Beruch Matsuya, a door which can withstand a normal wind. This level of protection is considered Shmir Bachusa, lesser guarding. Daf Nun Vav. So the Simmer Daf Nun Vav is a Shusher and Shul going, Nunu. So here goes. The Shusher, that must mean we're on Daf Nun Vav, Nunu. The Shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was Pater Midine Adam, telling him that he was Tochayev Bidine Shamayim, which reminds us, the Gemara brings four cases which are Pater Bidine Adam, the Chai Bidine Shamayim, where their liability Bidine Shamayim is a Chiddush. The first case is where one breaks someone's wall, allowing his animal to escape. One can think he's not even Chai Bidine Shamayim for the lost animal, since the weak wall was meant to be dismantled. So the Shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall, leading an animal to escape, and bragged that he was Pater Bidine Adam, telling him that he was Tochayev Bidine Shamayim, that he didn't notice robbers striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as Meshicha, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Nun Hei Amud Beis taught, Hotziuha Listim Listim Chayovim, if robbers took the animal out of its enclosure, the robbers are chayv for any damage it inflicts. The Gemara asks that this is obvious because by pulling an animal, they acquired it in theft and are responsible for its damages. One explanation that it's a case of Hikisha, where the robber struck the animal causing it to move. This qualifies as Meshicha and makes him liable for the animal's damages. So the shusher was so busy shushing the man who accidentally broke someone's weak wall leading an animal to escape and bragged that he was pater bedine adam, that he was still chayev bedine shamayim, that he didn't notice robbers striking an animal to get it to leave its enclosure, which qualifies as meshicha, nor the man who found a lost watch and became a shomer aveda, which some say is like a shomer sacher, which reminds us, Amoraim dispute the status of a shomer aveda, one who watches a lost object, which he found. Rabbah says, Kashomer Chinam Dam, he's considered like an unpaid custodian, and explains what hanah comes to him from watching it. Rav Yosef says, Kashomer Sacher Dam, he's considered like a paid custodian, and explains because of the hanah he derives that he doesn't need to give bread to a poor person while he's involved in caring for the lost object because of the rule of Osek B'mitzvah, Patamina Mitzvah, and therefore he's considered a Shomer Sacher. Another explanation is given. Daf Nun Zayin. So the Zimmer Daf Nun Zayin is a nose, and we use a puppet with a very long nose. So here goes. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose. Lost puppet with a long nose? That must mean we're on Daf Nun Zayin. The Shomer Aved who returned a lost puppet with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, which reminds us Rabbi Elazar rules, the called Srichin Das Balim, every item being returned, such as a stolen item or a pikadon, requires the owner's awareness that it was returned. Otherwise, he's still responsible for it. Chutz, Mahasheva Saved, except from returning a lost item, which may be returned without the owner's knowledge, Shariv Sabot Torah Hashavas Harbi, because the Torah included many types of returning. So the Shomer Aveda who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aveda and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making him chayv to pay kefil. Which reminds us, Rav Yosef said, Aton Tanis Listi Mizuin, where one makes a claim that a lost item that he found was stolen by an armed robber, which is an onus, for which even a Shomer Sacher is pater, he pays double for falsely claiming so. Although one only pays kefil for a claim of theft by a gunav, one who steals secretly, and not a gazlan, one who robs openly through force, Rav Yosef holds that an armed robber, since he hides from people, he's classified as a gunav. So the Shomer Aved who returned a lost pup with a long nose to the owner's secure garden without the owner's knowledge, recalling that the last time he was a Shomer Aved and swore that the lost item was stolen by an armed robber, ended up making him chayev to pay kefil. Over at someone who rented a cow say he would pay for the stolen cow and not swear, knowing if the thief gets caught, he'll receive kefil. Which reminds us, if someone rented a cow and it was stolen, and instead of swearing to exempt himself, he said, Hareini mishalom ve'eini nishba, I shall pay and not swear, and the thief was later found, mishalom tashumi kefil esocher. He pays kefil to the renter because by paying for it voluntarily, he acquires the stolen cow. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we machlokes is whether an owner of a boar has to pay if a cow falls in backwards from the sound of digging? That's on daf Nun Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn one is permitted to return a lost object without the owner's knowledge? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we discuss what is considered a shmira pachusa, the requisite shmira for shein v'regel? That's on daf Nun Hey. Good. Number 4. Which of them when the assessment for damage done in a field is assessed according to the field's loss in value as part of a greater area of a base saw? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 5. Which of them when about 8 halachos that apply to all animals and fowl? That's on daf Nundalad. Good. Number 6. Which that they learn that Aton Tainus Listim, one who claims that a lost object was stolen by armed robbers, pays kefil. That's on daf Nun Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which that they learn about the exemption of Mavriach Ari Menichse Chavero versus an animal falling into someone's garden? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. Number 8. Which that they learn striking an animal causing to move is a form of Meshicha? That's on daf Nun Vav. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss if the owner of an animal that fell into someone's garden is chayev, if his animal then goes from row to eat the produce? That's on daf Nun Ches. Good. And number 10. Which of them when the one who volunteers to pay for a rented cow which was stolen from him is paid the kefil if the thief is caught? That's on daf Nun Zayin. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zichru, wishing you a great day and great learning.